Friday Night Footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Tonight it's St Kilda and the Giants from the Gabba. The Saints looking to qualify for the finals for the first time since 2011. And the Giants have been there for four straight years. They've won finals in each of them. They've played 11 finals in that time. But a lot has to go right. They have to win and then a bit more across the weekend to try to salvage a place. They are only an outside chance. There is a change, Anthony Hudson, you mentioned?
There is a change. Isaac Cumming is the late inclusion, and Matt De Boer is injured. So, Gaz, Cornelio?
Yep, Cornelio to Steele. There you go. I would have thought De Boer would have set himself for Jack Steele. That would have been the smart play. He hasn't always played on someone, De Boer, which is a... I know, it's an interesting concept. I know our friend Hot Take... Kano gets his and I agree with him, by the way. So, Cornelio to Steele, I reckon.
Gary Lyon, Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson with you on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game is back at Macca's and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes.
We've just seen the weather up there, guys.
Rain.
It's raining.
Rain. It's at the Gabba tonight, which is the venue for the grand final. Did you watch last night, which was just down the road?
Yeah.
What do you got there? I hope that's SEN that's played on your phone.
That's the AFL app, actually, Gaz. I'm sorry. Did you see Chris Scott today saying that the commentators have made up basically that it's greasy, the conditions?
Not sure how to say this. I've got to say this with the utmost respect, and I'm not being facetious one bit. I admire, respect, and love all the coaches. Sometimes they're the last people in the world you should listen to. When it comes to some of these,
but why would he say that? If he's trying to, other teams are dipping balls in all sorts of things.
As well, I think.
Yeah, well, he just dismissed. I didn't know. I thought he was.
Well, why do they say it? Because they're deflecting left, right, and centre. They're talking about everything and other than what they want to be talking. Don't want to be talking about. Seriously, it's just I don't know. They got a lot on their plate, and I don't know. The distraction comes along. And they go, "How can I say something here that just is totally?" Yeah, nonsensical.
So can I say how much of it is? So I think we're going to talk ourselves out of the night grand final. I actually think that's the risk. We're just going to talk it down and down and down and down, and then when it's 8-6, which will be entirely in keeping with the season, it is going to be a low scoring grand final because of the style of footy that's played. Don't worry about it. It may very well be Dewey, or it might not be. We are not going to see a great number of goals in the grand final because of the way footy's played.
No. And there's due though, isn't there?
Last night, though, and the players have been consistent. In the warm-up, it's the time. In the warm-up, it's fine. You don't think it. You start the game, and by about quarter time, depending on when the game starts, you can notice the difference. Yeah. We're not making it up.
No, we are not, Chris. No, Chris. Our eyes, we can only go on our eyes, and having spoken to some people that are up there and know the circumstances intimately, maybe you're reading it different to the vast majority, but the vast majority are telling me, anyway, that it is real and it makes for a very, very difficult playing surface, which is the same for both teams, so then you've got to deal with it. But, I mean, you watched last night, and this is the thing, and Cairns is probably, from what I can gather, is having the Melbourne played out there. They said it's another level again. Mm. So that makes Fremantle and the Dogs. The Dogs are a team that like to flip it around by hand a lot. Makes it interesting.
And it's windy up. It's been windy pretty much every night up there too, so that's another factor. Wind, rain, dew.
Well, dear, but everyone deals with it.
They do. But if we're trying to get the best, but, I mean, I take your point, Jared, and I agree with you broadly, but do we have to add another element that we didn't need to add?
So when would you have played it?
Well, I would have played it as a twilight grand final. If that is real, the dew is real, which it appears to be.
So I did the list a couple of weeks ago. There's a list of 12 finals that have been played at the Gabba. Not one of them is remembered for it being slippery or wet. No. Not one of them. And there are some great finals in that list. Truly great finals. I just think we're going to talk ourselves out of it. It's going to be a low-scoring grand final, and people are going to go, so let's never play it at night again. And it won't be the reason.
Yeah, I don't. I've got more confidence in people to see it for what it is this year. That is the circumstances. And it's the year. Even last night, you got the West Coast Eagles coming in at quarter time. Nought. This is just the way this season's unfolding. We hope and pray that we're going to get back. And this is a whole conversation for another day, but We did Geelong Richmond game, which I didn't do with you boys. So the number one attacking the most is then are held to a goal by three quarter time. So my question then is, what is the incentive to play attacking football in the modern era? And then if I'm going to go coaching, you know, and you're my assistants, we sit down, we go, how we want to play? And my natural inclination is say, let's score. Let's go and attack. What is the incentive to do that when the best, most attacking team in the comp can be kept to one goal in three quarters of footy? And the simple answer is there's no incentive. Therefore, I will then go and concentrate on pressure and defence and zone defence and slow it down. And that's why we are getting 2-3, 3-4, 4. And it is the greatest challenge facing our game.
It's every bit of that.
I've got some numbers where we're at as we get to the last year in terms of game time and scoring and so forth.
Cool. All right, we'll go through those shortly. Callan Waters with us from the Giants camp. Callan, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, boys. How you going?
We're good. How's the finger?
It's a bit better. It's been a frustrating one. But I wasn't far off playing this week, but it was just a call I made during the week that it probably just wasn't worth it. It hasn't fully healed yet, and the wound took a few more weeks than I thought it would. So, yeah.
Didn't think you were doing a Daniel Chick, did you, Cal? At any stage, just chopping the damn thing off?
Well, when it first happened, I thought I might have to. Yeah, I've never even jarred a finger in my career before, so I've done a good one to start up with.
So what do they actually do? Like, it's a compound fracture, obviously. I don't want to get people having their dinner, but did you get the shock when you looked down?
When I looked down, because I felt it didn't hurt. I just felt something on my hand. And when I looked down, I thought I had some white tape on my finger. So I've gone to pick off the white tape, and I'm picking at it, and I'm thinking, this is hard tape.
Oh.
And I kept picking at it, and ended up being my bones.
So,
yeah, not pretty.
Is it the most gruesome injury you've done?
Yeah, I've done nothing else that's been gruesome, so yeah, definitely. But I actually didn't break the bone, so it's just a fracture. It just dislocated, so the plate that holds your bones together pretty much was dislocated or broken, so I had to get that repaired. Other than that, it was actually pretty good, so.
you're a tough breed, I'll give you that. What are the emotions heading toward tonight, Callan? It's obviously, winning is not enough tonight. A lot has to go right, and you've played finals four straight years. What's your sense heading towards the game tonight?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one. We're pretty much just keeping it pretty simple. We have to win. We have to win well, really. Obviously, we need some results to go our way as well, but we can't look past tonight. We have to win, and we have to play some good footy, which we haven't really been doing in the last pretty much all year, actually. So, yeah, the pressure's on us to actually play some good footy tonight.
Have you got any thoughts as to why?
Not really. If it was something in particular that, that we weren't doing that well, I probably would, but because it's been across the whole board and it's been inconsistent throughout the whole board and every line, it's been really hard to actually nail down on what's going wrong. But we're chipping away, and we're trying to improve the training during the week, but on game day it's just not working for us at the moment.
So do you think it's more physical or mental?
Oh, I think it's a bit of everything. I think the mental stuff has to come into it. I know every team's in the same position with hubs and all that, and being away from families, being away from home, but obviously the mental side comes into it, but physically as well. We got guys who are stars of the game who haven't been performing. I came in, I didn't perform all year. There's been guys who have had good years previously who have just been down on form this year. I'm not too sure why, but for some reason.
And yet, round one, you looked in awesome touch, and then after the break, it just hasn't been the case.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that, because we were playing really good football in round one. Our isolation break, I thought everyone went away and trained really well, and we came back in a really good mood and ready to play some good footy. And since then, we've played some really good footy, and we still know that our best is still probably the best, but our worst is far from our best, and just got to keep trying to bridge that gap.
What about spirit in amongst the group? We had the whole Canelio situation last week. You as a former captain, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that and whether you actually spoke to Stephen about it. So how's the spirit amongst the group?
Yeah, the spirit's up and down. We had eight players come in last week, so obviously had some guys out of the team, and Cogs was one of those. Cogs is one of my really good mates, and obviously have a fair bit to do with him, especially speaking about leadership and things like that, and he was really disappointed, but at the same time he knew that his football wasn't good enough. He, you know, he had a lot of things to work on. And I think as a club, when you drop your captain, it's always going to be controversial. But I think Cogs handled it really well. And you know, the team handled it really well as well. And I think that's just part of football sometimes, unfortunately. You know, you're not always in good form. And Cogs has faced those challenges throughout the year, but especially in the last month.
But unfortunately, the fact that the story is it's not a part of footy very much, and we had to go way, way back. And you've been a captain, and as a captain, I think you've got dual responsibility. You are there, obviously, you've got to play and get that part of it right, and he's been struggling. But you're also, you know, you're the number one leader in that group, which must count for something as well, which that, to me, made the decision to drop him surprising. You're saying, well, your form's no good, and therefore maybe your leadership's not that great either.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's a part of footy with form in terms of just a general football. And obviously, it hasn't happened in 22 years where a captain's been dropped based on form. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, I don't think it's got anything to do with his leadership. It was just purely his football stuff, because his leadership has been first class all year, and even in the last month, it's stepped up as well. So it was just that he wasn't doing what he knew he could do, you know, what the coaches asked of him, and well, the teammates asked him as well, so it was just one of those situations where it's probably best for him to get out of the side and try and learn from it, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sure you understand. Then people start to say, okay, well, you know, Jeremy Cameron hasn't had a great year, and you know, would he have been next if this season rolled on? How have you seen his form?
Yeah, it's been just like the rest of us, pretty up and down, inconsistent. Some really good games, some really poor games. And he, you know, I think he'd be the first one to put his hand up and say, you know, he's had a pretty ordinary year, and obviously cops it in the media quite a bit, and you know, we got full support of Jezza, and you know, I know it's late in the season now. I've been saying all year he'll get back to his best, and probably hasn't got back to his best all year, but you know, we can back him in for the seasons coming forward, and hopefully, you know, potentially the finals as well.
What's it like being having the Amazon cameras in this year that have been following Stephen Cornelio?
Yeah, it's fine. It's I mean, cameras are usually out these days with you know social media and everyone trying to get their beard at the club as well. So you know, it's been a bit different probably at the start of it, but now I think the players are used to it, and Cogs is, you know, mic'd up probably, I don't know, 50% of the time at the club and at the hub and training and playing and stuff like that. So that's probably been a bit different for him, but I think everyone's used to having the cameras around now.
And the scenario with Aiden Corr during the week, Callan, is, was there a level of confrontation to that? Was there a sort of all of team meeting in the aftermath of it to declare intentions and to hear commitment?
So the way Aiden went about it, he's really close with Leon, so I think he thought the best thing to do was just to be upfront and honest with Leon. So he did that on whatever night it was, Tuesday night or something. I think he told him in a conversation, and the club's position from them was to release it, and we gave Apples the opportunity to speak in front of the group and to tell the boys what he's doing, and it all played out really well. The players handled it really well, and that was the end of it.
Did Ben Graham address the group, and sort of, it's been reported that there was some sort of ultimatum if, you know, you're either in or you're out? Jason McCartney, yeah.
Oh, there were a few players that said some stuff, and Jason said some stuff as well. You know, pretty much what we always say is, you know, we're always going to lose players every year. Every club, you know, loses players, but we're trying to keep the players who really want to be here. And that's it.
Callan, thanks for your time tonight. We look forward to seeing you whenever the next time is.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Callan Ward with us from the Giants. Shout out for Tyre Power. Go and see Penny at Tyre Power, Sunbury. Right now, buy three, get one free on selected Toyo tyres.
I saw Ben Graham. He's doing the NFL with Cam Luke,
I was getting to meet Ben, thinking the Graham.
I know, idiot. So we always have this conversation. Are we mature enough as a competition to be able to say, yep, Anthony's leaving halfway through the year, he's going to K-Rock. We can deal with that. You'll keep giving your best. We're not ready for that.
No.
We're nowhere near ready for that.
Well, you would say we're getting further and further away from it.
I know. And is that a bad thing or a good thing?
No, it's a ridiculous thing.
I would have thought
Aiden
in this case.
Not to be playing tonight because he is going to...
He's injured, isn't
he? He's injured, I think.
Well, to be banished from the setup. It's ludicrous.
That's right.
Someone who's been there that long and is a heart and soul player and got a good nickname, I mean, Apples Corr.
Apples,
why wouldn't he still be there.
I need to address that with myself, because my first reaction is, right, out. And I'm sorry, that's how I was brought up, but I need to be more.
But times have changed, haven't they, Gaz?
Yeah, no, they have, for sure. But I just wonder.
I mean, you've got to look at North Melbourne. They're out the door the next day.
Yeah, so it goes both ways, I suppose. I'll need to give myself a talking to.
All right, you do that. We've got some...
Can we mic you up for that?
Rapid-fire topics to kick around as we go, including Eddie Betts is going on at Carlton. This is the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Exclusive bathroom packages from Beaumont's for Grand the Lot.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing. And Liquorland, always great value.